Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, verse number 14. Nyarundan Udgalad Baspam Okantiyad Devaki Sute Niryat Yagaran Nobadram Itishyad Bandavastriya. The female relatives, whose eyes were flooded with tears out of anxiety for Krishna, came out of the palace. They could stop their tears only with great difficulty. They feared that tears would cause misfortune at the time of departure. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. There were hundreds of ladies in the palace of Hastinapura. All of them were affectionate to Krishna. All of them were relatives also. When they saw that Krishna was going away from the palace for his native place, they were very anxious for him, and as usual, tears rolled down their cheeks. They thought, at the same time, that tears at that moment might be a cause of misfortune for Krishna. Therefore, they wanted to check them. This was very difficult for them because the tears could not be checked. Therefore, they smeared their tears in their eyes and their hearts throbbed. Therefore, ladies who were the wives and daughters-in-law of those who died in the battlefield never came in direct contact with Krishna, but all of them heard of him and his great activities, and thus they thought of him, talked of him, his name, fame, etc., became affectionate also, like those who were in direct contact. Therefore, directly or indirectly, anyone who thinks of Krishna, talks of Krishna, or worships Krishna becomes attached to him. Because Krishna is absolute, there is no difference between his name, form, quality, etc. Our intimate relation with Krishna can be confidentially revived by our talking of, hearing of, or remembering him. It is so done due to spiritual potency. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So now we see that the spiritual potency is not something material, because it has something, it is of the nature of, is of absolute nature. Absolute means Krishna has absolute and infinite energies, so therefore his name and himself are not different. His abode and himself are not different. His katha, or his pastimes and himself, are not different. His body and himself are not different. See, this is all different than the material world, where our body and ourselves are different. And our name and ourselves are different. I remember once in high school, one day the teacher came, one of our teachers came in and says, "If you would like to be called another name, please write it down on a piece of paper and then pass it to me. Write down your name and then the name you would like to be called." So then he went around the room, you know, he said, "Jeffrey Steinberg, you want to be called Abe?" He said, "Yes." Then he went, you know, so everyone wanted to be called a different name, right? So that just means that the name and the person are not the same. So in this way, but Krishna and his name are non-different. So when you chant the name of Krishna, Krishna is present. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rupa Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnak Sudha Nityamukta Binatvam Namanamine. So we read this the other day, but we read it again. It's from the Padma Purana. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. it bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, and there is no question of its being involved with Maya, Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. So when it says, Binat Mam Namanamine, it means that Abhinat Van means not being different. Nama, the holy name, Namino, and of the person of the name. In other words, Krishna and his name are not different. That's the whole point. So, and then also there's another interesting verse, the first canto, 8 chapter, 36 verse. We read this already. It's in the about the Bhisma Pitamaha, Kunti Devi. And it says, Shinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Abhikshanat, Abhikshasaha, Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Jana, Ta Eva Pasyanti Achiren Tavakam, Bhava Pravaho Paraman Padambujam. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So there is something very special about chanting the names of Krishna, and talking about Krishna, and hearing about Krishna, and worshiping Krishna, one becomes attached to Krishna. And whether it's done directly in his presence or indirectly without him being present, the same result is attained. That's why Prabhupada says here, therefore the ladies who were the wives and daughters-in-law of those who died in the battlefield never came in direct contact with Krishna, but all of them heard of him and his great activities, and thus they thought of him, talked of him, his name, fame, etc. But all of them heard of him and his great activities, and thus they thought of him, talked of him, his name, fame, etc., and became affectionate also, like those who were in direct contact. So whether you're in direct contact or indirect contact, you can develop the same attachment to Krishna because of his absolute nature. And then it says, therefore, directly or indirectly, anyone who thinks of Krishna, talks of Krishna, or worships Krishna becomes attached to him. Because Krishna is absolute, there is no difference between his name, form, quality, etc. Our intimate relation with Krishna can be confidentially revived by our talking of him, hearing of, or remembering him. It is so done due to spiritual potency. So three times he repeated this, that you can hear about him, talk about him, remember him, and whether you're in his direct association or indirect, when he's apparently not present, the same result is achieved. So that's the power of Krishna consciousness and the holy name of the Lord. That's why we should not waste our time on nonsensical topics or use our brain for just making money. We should think about what is our ultimate destination. Our ultimate destination is birth, old age, disease, and death. That is sure. Nothing else is sure. You don't know for sure if you're going to keep your job. You don't know for sure if you're going to live 10 more minutes. You know, none of that is sure. But what is sure is death is definitely going to come at any time. Therefore, we should use every spare moment, and every moment we should understand that we have a very precarious position in this world. Therefore, we should cultivate this Krishna consciousness as our main interest in life. We can still function in society, just like some people function, or some people think that their main purpose in life is to have illicit sex. They meditate upon it all day long. They watch movies about it. They write books about it. They talk about it. Their whole mind is consumed by it. But yet, they're CEOs. They're employees. They're little league baseball coaches, and they're doing all those things. But yet, what's preoccupied in their mind is this sense gratification. So if they can do that, why can't we also function in society but always think about Krishna? If they can do that, always thinking about sense gratification, why can't we do this, always thinking about Krishna? See? Some people are, oh boy, I can't think about Krishna all day long. What will happen to my job? But yet the boss is thinking about sense gratification all day long. Still, he's doing his job. So that proves that it's possible to have one-track mind focused on Krishna and still function very expertly in material society. In fact, even better. Okay, so then we see that even in the worst tragedy, there's a wife that has kids and her husband is killed. So it says here that there were many women, there were wives and daughters-in-laws of those who died in the battlefields, and they never came in direct contact with Krishna, but all of them heard of him and his great activities. So the greatest or the best way to mitigate stress, fear, anxiety, depression, what can be more depressing than a young wife with three or four children whose husband dies precipitously? That's extremely depressing. How's she going to pay the mortgage? How's she going to take care of the kids? How's she going to do it all by herself, where before she had the help of her husband? But yet, if one takes complete shelter of Krishna, it's possible to do it very successfully and still, but the advantage is now one comes very close to Krishna. So that is the solution to all problems. As Prabhupada says often, Krishna consciousness is the solution to all problems of life. This is said in several places in the Bhagavad Gita. Let me see where that is. There's about 10 pages of references to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, in the index. Okay, so let's look at the fourth chapter, 31st verse. Nayam lokosti ayaj nasya kuto nya kuru usatama. O best of kuru dynasty, without sacrifice, one can never live happily in this planet or in this life. What then of the next? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whatever form of material existence one is in, one is invariably ignorant of his real situation. In other words, existence in the material world is due to the multiple reactions of our sinful lives. Ignorance is the cause of sinful life, and sinful life is the cause of one's dragging on in material existence. The human form of life is the only loophole by which one may get out of this entanglement. The Vedas, therefore, give us a chance for escape by pointing out the paths of religion, economic comfort, regulated sense gratification, and at last a means to get out of the miserable condition entirely. The path of religion, or the different kinds of sacrifice recommended above, automatically solves our economic problems. By performance of jagya, we can have enough food, enough milk, etc., even if there is so-called increase of population. When the body is fully supplied, naturally the next stage is to satisfy the senses. The Vedas prescribe, therefore, sacred marriage for regulated sense gratification. Thereby, one is gradually elevated to the platform of release from material bondage. And the highest perfection of liberated life is to associate with the Supreme Lord. Perfection is achieved by performance of yajna, sacrifice, as described above. Now, if a person is not inclined to perform yajna, according to the Vedas, how can he expect a happy life even in this body? What to speak of another body on another planet? There are different grades of material comforts in different heavenly planets, and in all cases, there is immense happiness for persons engaged in different kinds of yajna. But the highest kind of happiness that a man can achieve is to be promoted to the spiritual planets by practice of Krishna consciousness. A life of Krishna consciousness is therefore the solution to all the problems of material existence. There it is. And that's not the only place where Prabhupada says that. But this is a very good purport because, all his purports are good, because this shows that this Varnashram system, in modern times it's called Daiva Varnashram. So the temple is an example of Daiva Varnashram. People live around the temple so that they can come regularly to the temple. When they come to the temple, they chant Hare Krishna, they worship the deity, they have prasadam, they hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and they engage in devotional service. So, but everybody has a job, everybody has family, everybody has debts, or whatever. But everything is resolved, or let's say taken care of, by the fact of practicing Krishna consciousness. So, you can do a little survey. Has your life become better by living close enough to the temple that you can come on a regular basis? What would you say, Mr. Paramananda? It has? About anybody else? Has your life become better probably since you moved close by? Has your life become better? Have your relationship with your family, with, I don't know, co-workers, with your professions all got better? Okay. So that's the point, you see, that Krishna consciousness is the solution to all problems of life. But people don't realize that. They think, no, the solution is I have to get a promotion, I have to become a VP in this company. That doesn't make life better necessarily. It just makes life more stressful for many people. Right? I know one man. He was the top man of Microsoft's activities in India, right? Although he lives here, but he was managing all Microsoft stuff in India, and he was on the top of the world. You know, a big guy, right? Making big money. He had a heart attack. He almost died. And he realized, my God, you know, I can't go on like this anymore. So he quit. Although he had such a big position and a big salary. Of course, he had saved a lot of money. How much do you think he would make? The head guy living in Seattle of all of Microsoft's activities in India. What do you think he'd make a year? Yeah. Yeah. He's got a huge house also in Medina. Yeah. He's making a couple $1 million a year, plus his stock options, all that other stuff. So, you see, but he realized, you know, I can't go on like this. He almost died of a heart attack. Right? So the same way, we should have a balanced life. In other words, you don't have to make a couple $1 million a year to be a happy person. Even if you make $250,000 a year, you could be very happy, right? Or $100,000. Most people in the United States don't make more than $35,000-$40,000 a year. Did you know that? If you start going to the middle of the United States, most people are living on $30,000-$35,000 a year. And still they raise their families, you know. And they drink and they smoke and they gamble, you know. But, right, Prabhu, you agree with that? Yeah? I mean, most people in the country are not making, you know, $150,000, $200,000 a year. That's good. Yeah, lower middle class, steady people. A lot of them may be Christian, you know. And that's like most of the countries on that level. You know. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions? Well, they couldn't stop themselves, though. But they were thinking that the crying might be inauspicious. Well, you know, people usually cry when there's a funeral, right? So there was thing, but you know, it depends what kind of tears they were. Were they hot tears or cold tears? No, there's a difference. There's a difference. So they might explain that in the next verse. I don't know. So in 9:33, ninth chapter 33rd verse, it says, "Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajasya stata." Anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. In the material world, there are classifications of people, but after all, this world is not a happy place for anyone. It is clearly stated here, anityam asukam lokam. This world is temporary and full of miseries, not habitable for any sane gentleman. This world is declared by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be temporary and full of miseries. And also coronavirus. That's not here, but you, it's part of the miseries, right? Some philosophers, especially Mayavadi philosophers, say that this world is false, but we can understand from Bhagavad Gita that the world is not false, but we can. It is temporary. There is a difference between temporary and false. This world is temporary, but there is another world which is eternal. This world is miserable, but the other world is eternal and blissful. Arjuna was born in a saintly royal family. To him also the Lord says, take to my devotional service and come quickly back to Godhead, back home. Where did he say that? 12th chapter, 6th and 7th verse. Yeah. No one should remain in this temporary world, full as it is with miseries. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that he can be eternally happy. The devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the only process by which all problems of all classes of men can be solved. Everyone should therefore take the Krishna consciousness and make his or her life perfect. There you are. Krishna consciousness, solution to all problems of life. Do you believe it? That is the question. To be or not to believe or not to believe, that is the question. As Shakespeare said, to be or not to be, but I added, to believe or not to believe, that is the question. Okay, we'll stop there. Yes. Answer to your question, come to the class every day. Then you won't have those periods of disbelief. You get your vaccination every morning. Yes. Go ahead. Yes. 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 Yeah. Yeah. So, if it happened 5,000 years ago, why can't it happen today? That's what we're trying to do: hear about Krishna every day. It's very important. we went over those three verses, was it yesterday, that the importance of hearing, right? And I told you there's at least 20 where I didn't have time to go through all of them. Yesterday you heard it's very emphatic. It all depends on your hearing. So in the first canto, 8th chapter, 25th verse, Prabhupada says, this is the verse where Kunti Devi says, you're leaving now? No, bring back the calamities. It's because when there's problems, you're with us. You know. So generally the distressed, the needy, the intelligent, and the inquisitive, who have performed some pious activities, worship or begin to worship the Lord. Others who are thriving on misdeeds only, regardless of status, cannot approach the Supreme due to being misled by the illusory energy. Therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no other alternative than to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means preparing for liberation from birth and death. Therefore, even though there are so-called calamities, they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation. So let's say everything was TK in your life. Would you come to the class every day? Huh? What do you think? Let's say you were making $500,000 a year. You have a big car and a big house, and wife is dressed up like a movie star every day. And, you know, everything is going nice. Would you come to the temple? I don't think so. I don't think you would come. It's only when you begin to feel the stress of material life that you feel some impulsion. I must go, you know, I got it. I'm going crazy. This is the only thing that gives me a little bit of peace. I must come to the temple. You know, I have to hear this every day. It's good for me. One who has taken shelter of lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nations, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made by the hoofs of calves. The hoofs of a calf. A calf's foot is no bigger than this. It's very thin. When they get bigger, it gets like that. But a calf's foot is like this. It's a little, like a little, it's a very thin leg. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nations, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made by the hoofs of a calf. Such persons are meant to reside in the abode of the Lord, and they have nothing to do with a place where there is danger in every step. That's the material world. There's danger in every step. There's coronavirus in every step. You know, in that one nursing home in Kirkland, 24 people have died, and almost 100 people have been diagnosed with coronavirus. In that one nursing home, what went on in there is unbelievable. You know, most of the deaths in the state happened in that one place so far, and there are over 250 people diagnosed with coronavirus. Almost half of them are in that one place. Okay. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nations, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made by the hoofs of a calf. Such persons are meant to reside in the abode of the Lord. They have nothing to do with a place where there is danger in every step. This material world is certified by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of the place is itself full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without trace of calamity. The duty of the sane person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes, One should make progress in spiritual realization because that is the mission of human life. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, the so-called calamities are called false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream, and he may cry for his calamity. Actually, there's no tiger, and there's no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. So, there you are. It's the solution to all problems of life. Hari Bol. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,